Blog host and co-pilot, as I like to say, Michelle Mache. I want to welcome you all, and hello all in the Space of Empowerment Room, also known as Chat Room. Wonderful to see all of you. I'm so excited to, we'll get to that. Let me welcome guests, let me welcome also those that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions, and also all of you that are listening via the archive, hello those listening and downloading from iTunes. I want to welcome you all as well. You might be listening at a different time, but you're right with us right here, right now. So what is awakening? Those of you that are surfing in and tuning in and saying, what is this program? Very often we get some calls and emails about that. What exactly is awakenings? Well, awakenings is a timely relaying of insight and information, and we do this through a converging here on this internet radio program. It's a live internet radio program and interactive, so we love the interaction. It is great that people respond in the chat or call in. Keeps the show kind of going and keeps it kind of fresh, right? And if you would like, if you are a new listener and you want to listen just via the chat room, all you need to do is click to listen. And by all means, just listen, be a guest. But if you'd like to interact, all you need to do is sign in or sign up for a screen name through Blog Talk Radio, and it's just your email and name, and that'll allow you to interact in the web in the chat room on the website. Also, if you do have questions for the guests or myself, if you type in caps, I can more easily see it. And if I happen to miss, just type again, and I'll catch it, okay? And if you'd like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or comment, just press 1 on the keypad, and that'll let me know that you have a question or a comment. So here we really connect in. It's, you know, in the Eastern tradition called Sangha or Satsang, group of like-minded individuals connecting in, sharing their insight, receiving insight, information, new understandings to take out again into the world, because we're all in the world. You know, this is not about going off to a cave in the Himalayas. It is about taking your insight, your awareness out into the world, living it every day. And so we're really, in a sense, grounding these spiritual principles, these tools for transformation, these tools for clearing the emotional body and aligning the little self to the higher self, so if we're going to get metaphysical about it. So one way that we do that is by hosting dialogues and interviews with awakened visionaries, authors. Some are very well known, some less known. But what they all have in common, every guest, whether a scientist, someone in the medical field, whether a musician, whether you know an actor, whether a student, whether a wife, a mother, a housewife, it doesn't matter. You know, some of you have listened when we've had these awakening panels where we have different people coming together and sharing on a topic. We had spirituality in social media we had as a topic. And we got some of the movers and shakers, some visionaries in social media, as well as metaphysicians together. The one thing in common is living more awake, more aware, an awareness. And this awareness comes through in whatever the person is doing. It's in all arenas, all sectors. You know, I had a great conversation. I was actually on Infinite Waters radio program, and with the host Ralph, and he made a point, and Well, I knew this intellectually, but for to hear him say this was wonderful. He said, you know, the awakening happens everywhere. Some people, it's in a dress. Some people, you know, it's an outfit. Some people, it's in a book. Some people, it's in a way they're raising their children. And it got me thinking, you know, yeah, the awakening is happening in all ways and all sectors. It's not just having, it's a metaphysical transformation, a spiritual transformation. It's a transformation of consciousness. But because consciousness changes shape and form, consciousness forms us and informs us. Our consciousness says a lot about us. And, you know, we are in a process of more and more and more consciousness, being more and more consciously awake, more consciously aware, and living this awareness. That is the key. And, you know, what I receive from my guides that I work with, the spiritual hierarchy, as well as the oversouls, is that it's not anymore about intellectualizing or talking about the awareness and understanding the awareness. It's about living the awareness. So that's the question to ask. How can you more live your consciousness? How can you be more consciously awake and aware? And it does require spiritual tools. That's one thing you'll see every guest that's come on here, pretty much, probably 90% at least, 95%, have stressed the spiritual tools or repatterning or emotional clearing, clearing the emotional body. I just referred a client of mine yesterday to wanting to know of a book to read, and I said, why don't you, because they were looking at, asking about the law of magnetic attraction and the secret and the Hicks and can't you get everything that you want? And I said, well, not necessarily, you know, because who wants it? What do you mean what everybody wants? What can't you get? You know, you're talking about the ego. So there's a difference between saying I want something from a place of the ego or the constructed ego, the egoic mind, and the soul coming through and guiding the ego personality. So more and more, the nature of the soul and the soul's path and the soul's unfolding and the soul's expression is going to have to be looked at. You know, and I also went on to share with, you know, many people, you can create from the ego mind as well. Not everybody creates from the higher self or creates from the soul. We're all sparks of God. We're all creative beings, so it doesn't stop at the ego level. So you can create at the ego level, or you can create at the level of the higher self or expanded consciousness. So the book I referred to her was Dr. Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief, and as many of you know, we had him on the program, I think in the summer. It was a great program, great segment, so worth a re-listen. And I said the visionaries, the healers, the scientists that are more at the cutting edge are focusing more on mental, emotional, spiritual tools, and specifically the emotions and repatterning and beliefs, and which tickles me because that's my whole arena and area. And I also just see the transformation that happens when people do this, because it's not about changing the person. It's just about adjusting or changing the pattern, the energy, the pattern of relating, the beliefs, the stuck states or stuck emotions, the chronic patterns that are too much in a groove, and it's like freeing up. I look at it as, I'm not a musician per se, so I don't know if you would oil strings or something, but or keys on a piano when you get your piano cleaned, right? If it can get stuck. And we are the instrument, the physical body, the mental, emotional, physical body is a vehicle. It's an aspect of, but it's also how we express and experience in the world. So if it's rusty, if it's stuck, you need to oil it up. Little Light is asking, how do we live the awakening? Love yourself, don't judge others, and open your mind. Very true. Love and accept yourself, but it's not about not judging others. It's about not being judgmental, because you do need to discern or judge with love, tenderness, and mercy what's right for you or appropriate for you or appropriate or right for you in a specific situation. That's one of the metaphysical principles called spiritual discernment. Seeing where people really are, not where you hope they are, not where you wish they were, not where they hope they are, not where they wish they are, or not where, you know, they hope to be or you hope them to be, not its potential. And then if you can really connect with people at the level that they're really at, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, of where they're really at, who they really are, or I should rather say how they really are, how they're really self-expressing, because we're all spiritual beings. That's who we are, spiritual beings, energy light beings, radiating love, light, and wisdom, experiencing and expressing. But how they are, how is somebody, where are they really at emotionally? And that takes a huge amount of unconditional love for to see somebody really where they're at, accept them for there, and relate to them in that level, in that place, without being judgmental, you know, without putting them down, you know. Because sometimes we want people to be further along than they are, right? So we have, before our guest comes on, I promise, and by the way, I love it, I love it, I love it, what I was saying at the top of the program, so tickled with all your emails and responses. Keep them coming. I've been asking, how and where do you listen to awakenings? How do you listen to awakenings? Where are you when you listen to awakenings? What are you doing when you listen to awakenings? I'm getting some great emails and Twitter direct messages on this, and also Facebook. So, by the way, on that, Facebook, you can connect with me or about awakenings at the Awakenings Radio. That's the Facebook page. And on Twitter, it's at Michelle Miche. MicheleMeiche. And then if you want to email and be on either the newsletter list or let me know how and where you listen to Awakenings, it's awakeningsatselfandlight.com. And I promised I would read a few, so before our guest comes on and part of our Awakenings family, we have a wonderful returning guest with us that I'm so excited to dive into with today. So I've gotten a lot. One listens in the bath. I love it with her laptop. And by the way, I won't necessarily read the names. I had a couple people email and say, please don't read my name. And I won't do that unless you ask me to or say that it's okay. I'll just read the content. Let's see. Oh, someone was saying they're fairly sensitive to other people's emotions. So I always feel my friends' worries and down emotions. Can you give me any suggestions for how to cope, not feel their emotional baggage with people always being around? Also, this person's currently sleeping a lot, difficult to focus on work. Well, you know, the thing is, the more aware you are, the more you're going to feel. So it's not about, you know, cutting off or dampening the feelings. But very often there's things that you can do to not feel as, to not have the feeling stay with you. One is recognizing, is it my stuff or someone else's? Is that coming in? Sometimes journaling, sometimes there's a wonderful process that you can download and print for free on my website, projection perception. Very often things stick with us because we're in a projection. We're triggered. And we think it's the other person's stuff, but actually it's our stuff sneaking out. If you move into perception, you're going to feel, you might feel sad for somebody or bad, or you might have empathy, but you're able to move through it. You're able to get to the higher principle or expanded awareness on it. Very often what helps me when I see people in certain situations, and especially if I feel powerless, like I wish I could help them, I don't know what to do, or things are overwhelming in the world, is I use meditation. I go into the meditative state, the connection within, that's also the connection to everything and everyone, and I begin to get the spiritual or metaphysical point of view or viewpoint of how everything is happening in perfect order, and this is an experience and an expression. So we're both. We have these human emotions where there's certain things we can't wrap our mind around, we can't understand. How can certain things happen? How can people go through certain things? How can people do certain things to us? So that part of us needs to be caretaken. We need to take care of that part of us and be with that part of us and not stay there, but also to get the expanded view. Sometimes I find when you're feeling, when you're seeing a lot of people around you going through things and you feel that the energy is dragging on you, you need more input, more insight, more spiritual input. So meditation, chanting, toning, sound, putting certain music on, putting your feet in the sand, taking a nice aromatherapy bath, swimming, sometimes a shower for the negative ions, being in nature, connecting somehow, whether it's a hike. Some of you that are maybe in the city, a city where you can't really get out into nature, it's not that easy, or you do, you're not seeing that much. If you're very housebound, I want to invite you to move your furniture around. When you move, and people have heard me say that, but when we do transitional counseling and bereavement counseling, sometimes we work with people that are so depressed because they're lost, they can't get out of the house. And they tend to sit in one, you know, you probably heard me say this before, one part of the sofa or one chair. So for them to move, you know, because it's all consciousness anyway, it's all energy. So when you start moving your what's around you, you're going to affect your energy. So if you're having trouble moving, move something around you, even if it's rearranging a table, even if it's sitting in a different chair, laying down in a different part of the bed, moving things around, whatever you can move around, this brings more insight, more information in, more light. This lightens things up. Calling someone. The other day I gave the Unity prayer line number. Sometimes that, it's anonymous, you know, number. There's Agape Spiritual Center has a prayer line. Calling, you know, sometimes, you know, there's no fee involved. Reaching out in that way to get that new insight, information, and that love, that light, that wisdom, that upliftment. Very often that will help to do that. And emotional baggage, sometimes people get comfortable with us being the go-to person. So sometimes it's about listening to them for a certain period of time and then putting the back onto them. Well, it sounds like you have a handle on it. Or I'm going to give you some suggestions, you know, if that's what you want. Just you want this from me. If they want that, give them the suggestions. And then if they're not making changes, you have every right to say, you know, I'm not going to be going there again with you. I'm not going to bring this, you know, we're not going to have this dialogue anymore, this conversation, because it seems like you're making a different choice and I don't know what to do. You know, I had to tell that to a friend one time. I said, and it really worked. It helped them really shift. It took a little bit of time, but something they were doing was really detrimental to them. And I listened. They asked my opinion. I shared, and it stayed the same. And then finally, I just would do things to not listen, you know. And then they asked me, you know, you're not wanting to hear that. I said, well, no, I've mentioned to you, I really don't want to keep talking about this if there's not going to be changes. You're not listening. And they asked, well, why? And I said, because it's very hard for me to see you hurting yourself this way, because that's what you're doing. And I'm just listening to you talk about how you're hurting yourself and there's not a change there. And I said, but I trust that you will be able to make a change, you know, and I'm here when you do or you're ready to. And then it became a little joke. I know you don't want to hear this, so I'm not going to mention. I said, okay, that's fine. You don't have to mention it. And we would talk about something else. And that happened enough that all of a sudden one day this person came to me and said, you know, I think you are right, because now that I'm having to listen to myself, I realize this is not good for me. This is not healthy. So sometimes we're not doing anybody a service by listening and taking it on, so to speak. Let's see. Someone's asking about, and what I'm going to do once a month, I'm going to go over these questions and comments and the feedback more when I do the readings and such, and we'll look at tools for this. But keep them coming in. I'm loving the change. Also, we got an email from actually two people, which I do want to just touch on. Was I had suggested, I don't know if it was a couple of segments ago, but another way of getting out of being stuck was to write out your projects or whatever that you want to do in big paper. I mean, the bigger the better. You can take, you know, butcher paper or a sketch pad. I have a sketch pad and I just take out the sheets and I put them on one wall in my office, my healing office, and I write what I'm doing and who's doing it with me and what's going on. And I use a lot of color, and maybe I draw some flowers or some images around it. I got two emails, one from Facebook and one to the Awakenings at Self and Light email address, about how this one person said this got them really going in their own life with the things that they had been wanting to do, that it became more fun, more playful, and they started getting more done. And another person said that they were stuck just like the caller and tried writing out the projects, but when they took my suggestion to write the projects out on fun colored paper with markers, it actually helped. And also an office mate commented on the paper. They started a conversation, and based on what we discussed, also helped me move forward with the project. So they got someone else to inspired and to move forward on a project that they had together. So anyway, I love hearing from all of you. I love doing the program with all of you. I love walking these steps with all of you. And I not only feel I'm sharing and teaching, but learning. More importantly, I'm learning so much with all of you. So thank you all for emailing. And again, the email is awakenings@selfandlight.com. and Awakenings Radio on Facebook. And the question is, how and where do you listen to Awakenings? I want to know. So, and we're going to be sharing it in the next few weeks, mid-April, and we'll have a wonderful gift for everyone that wrote in. And let's see. Debbie is also saying, I have a friend like that living in a very negative conditions, but she will not do anything to change it. All I can do for her is listen. I have learned that she will not change it. That's true. But also be aware of the listening, because very often it reinforces. So you have to kind of monitor or temper how much there's listening. And what you can do in the listening is actually raise their emotional tone, their emotional level by listening and then bringing the subject to something that's more inspiring or more co-creative. Then a lot of times it gets the person out of that. Sometimes you do that enough, the person is less interested in the problem. So, because the problem becomes the topic of how you connect. So it doesn't have to always be the way that you connect. And that's part of what I want to share here, is that you're reinforcing the groove when we're listening to the same thing over and over and over. It's not to not listen or cut off, but you listen to a certain degree and then bridge to something else, and you listen there, or suggest that person go just, have the accountability to do their own inner work on that, to get with somebody that, so you don't have to play the therapist role. You can play the friend role, and you can be the playmate. You guys can be lovely playmates. Wonderful. Again, the call-in number for questions or comments is 347-539-5122. We have with us today Jack Ellis, who is an author and spiritual teacher. Jack Ellis is the author of the blockbuster novel Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. And if any of you have heard Jack speak before, you know what a treasure he is, and those of you first-time listeners to listening to Jack, you will be greatly amazed and surprised by his insight, his understanding of the path, and his awareness. Welcome back to Awakenings, Jack.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Thank you very much. Hey, I got to ask you a question first. The first thing you said was one of your people listens to your show in the tub with their laptop? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I hope it's not in the tub. I hope it's outside. That sounds dangerous to me. Maybe I'm just so low tech. Sometimes I don't get these new high tech
advances. Yeah, while relaxing in a bubble bath.
God, I can see being electrocuted doing that. If I did that, I'd probably be electrocuted. So.
I'm sure they have new things. Well, now I'll admit I've been in with my phone or texting or iPhone. I don't know about. But there's ways, I guess, to do it if you have maybe something on the outside holding.
So you can have a little table outside of the tub.
You don't have to have the laptop to listen though. You can have it near the tub, right?
I used to watch TV in the tub, but it'd be like a little table.
There you go.
I guess I'd answer my own question. Okay.
Now listen to it on their iPod while walking or biking around campus. I love this. Well, relaxing bubble bath. I do love that. Listening to something. I guess they were in the tub, but the laptop not in the tub. How's that?
Hey, I have to share something else with you. I recently bumped into you in a way that really made me laugh. I was we're finishing our new DVD right now, and I was recently Google searching for clip art images on the internet to add to our DVD. And I don't remember exactly what I was searching. I was searching something like warrior goddess or a goddess, spiritual goddess or something like that. You popped up. It was the same.
Oh,
the
no.
Same, I think it was warrior goddess or a spiritual warrior, something like that. And all there, and the same picture that's on your website, and it was in regards to something that you're doing, and it was the same picture that's on your site. And I'm like, I know her. She's a spiritual warrior. How about that? All right, cool.
Nothing I coined. That's interesting. So maybe nothing that I coined.
Anyway.
I'm going to have to Google that.
I had to share that with you.
Thank you. But you know what's funny? With the Google, it, sometimes they'll the interesting mashups that happen and mix-ups with certain things. I've seen my name and things that I've done with things that are like, that's interesting. How did those two... I don't know how it aggregates like that, and it kind of just pulls stuff from all over. I've had people ask me certain things. Oh, did you do this, or you're into that? I'm like, not well. It's on Google, and I go, it is on Google, but I somehow they mashed it up that way. So.
Well, you could have a sentence that consists of 10 words that you said, and one of those words Google picks up, and it's one word out of context. But boom, there it is. So.
Oh, that's how it happened. Okay.
Well, that's one way it could happen.
Okay, yeah. Or somebody is messing around. Oh, Jack, always great to connect with you.
Well, thank you for inviting me back again. This is fun. I love doing this.
I thought, I got your newsletter. And by the way, how can people get in touch with you? Let's start out with that so I can put it in the chat.
Well, www. JackAlice.com.
Okay. And then to get on your Alice.com.
JackAlice.com. And you did, all my contact information is there. And my email is Jack@JackAlice.com. So
okay.
We've got it pretty simplified here.
Yeah, I like that. Something I can pronounce. Sometimes the URLs people give me, they're like, no, that's wrong. I'm like, okay, I forgot. That's simple. JackAlice@JackAlice.com. Perfect. I think something you had sent came through, and I mentioned to Linda. I said,
get the best vibes from Linda, by the way. She seems like a really cool person.
Very.
I just get wonderful. Whenever she emails me, I just get wonderful soul sister kinds of vibes from her. So she's a good rep you got out there. Whatever she is.
She is amazing and good sense of humor, very efficient, teaching me some things. You know,
and she also takes her spirituality very seriously.
Yes, she does. Very much focused on her path.
She exudes spirituality.
Linda, are you listening?
It oozes out of her.
Yes, I like that. Well, I think anyone too that has a good, she's no BS. She's got a great BS beeper, whatever, monitor, beeper, whatever it's called.
Meter.
Meter. There we go, meter. And Jack, you know one? Huh?
Antenna. BS antenna.
Yes, antenna, beeper, meter, whatever technology term we want to use. She has got it. Last time you were here. I just want to dive into everything because you're such a wealth of insight and inspiration and knowledge. I want to touch on your book as well. Yeah. But also, and because I've had of late, I would say the last 2 weeks, but this week, and it's been very short. I only started yesterday, so it must have been just on my mind. Quite a few emails, and then even with clients I've been working with and people that I've been working in workshops, asking about, you know, getting – you know, clear or not being able to trust their, you know, intuition or some being saying stuck, like I read earlier from one of the emails or a couple of the emails, feeling stuck or stuck states of emotions. And some of them also this myth of, well, I'll just, you know, meditate it away or I won't think of this or I'll just think positive thoughts. And I know the last time you were on, we talked about, you know, the emotional care, the mental emotional care, the mental emotional awareness. And I just thought if just we can jump into that a little bit, and then we can swim around wherever we tend to go. But if you can touch back on that, and even perhaps give some people some insight or some suggestions on taking care of that part of themselves, or being aware of that part of themselves, even.
Okay. Well, there's an awful lot in what. Can you hear me? I have a brand new headset. Do I sound okay?
Oh, actually, you sound really good.
Okay.
It sounds clear. Yeah, sounds really good.
All right, let me just take a note here because I don't want to lose track of your question. There was loaded.
There was a lot of stuff in that question.
But there are two things that I just jotted down in relationship to your question. One is, in my humble opinion, it does not help for us to distract ourselves from our issues, from whatever it is we're working on, and usually what we're working on is negative emotions, is it not? Normally, it's, you know, we feel a way that we don't want to feel. Negative thoughts, negative emotions. Usually that's what we're working on, and usually that's the bugaboo that we all have. And I got it too. I've been working on this stuff now. I'm 61 years old. I've been working on this stuff now for 40 years, and I still have. You know, I've had a rough day today, to tell you the truth. I was you know, feeling this morning. I was feeling very kind of incapacitated and. And, you know, I've been, you know, burnout, I guess, is what I was feeling. And I think the lesson that I learned today was every once in a while it's just very important just to feel that. And
yeah.
All morning I just didn't do a thing. And every time a thought would pop into my mind, do this, do that, it just seemed like too much. So I just continued to sit in my chair with my eyes closed listening to my music going, this is good for now. You're not doing squat. But, you know, as soon as I got up and started to do anything, I noticed that I was starting to get angry because it was just too much. So I basically just spent the whole morning, it was not really napping, but just sitting in a chair with my eyes closed and just breathing and just being, recognizing that that's where I needed to be because I've really been, you know, kind of overdoing it lately, just really working hard and doing a lot. And sometimes I get lost in the work and I kind of forget. You know, I kind of forget, you know, how difficult it all is until something like what happened this morning happens. But it does not help us to distract ourselves from whatever it is we're working on, negative emotion, whatever it might be. Because distraction is just distraction. And if you just distract yourself from it by thinking about something else or getting your mind off it or doing something else and forgetting about it, you know, it doesn't go away. It'll just come back, and it'll come back later. It'll come back in a different form or something like that. And I very strongly believe that just the opposite is the case. In order for us to do something, to detach from or correct or remedy whatever it is that we're working on, it's necessary to do just the opposite. We don't want to try to sweep whatever it is under the rug and pretend like it's not there and just distract ourselves from it and hope it goes away, because it won't. It's much better for us to plunge right into it. Whatever it is, just plunge right into it. Let's just say, for example, let's say it's anger. You know, if we're working on anger, and if anger is what we, and if we notice that we're feeling a little irritable and those kinds of things, it's much better to just plunge into it and to basically to get to know it. To get to know it really intimately, because that's how we learn about it, and that's how we understand what's going on, and those sorts of things. And when we get to know it really well, we also can kind of get a sense of, you know, when it's about to, you know, break back in and you know, create difficulties from it for us. You know, we just kind of get to know it. We get to sense it, and so when we do that, when we know it, when we sense it, when we become familiar with it, it's at that point where. We don't necessarily distract ourselves from it, but the key for me is we detach ourselves from it. And I'm very much of the belief that many of these things that we work on, many of these patterns that kind of get patterned into us, you know, we basically are most of us, I know it's true for me, and I'm sure it's true for 99 point whatever it is of your audience, you know, we learn a lot of very dysfunctional patterns in this very, we live in a very dysfunctional, dare I say, crazy culture that sends us a lot of messages about life that are really very destructive and damaging and not good. And it's best to, you know, and a lot of those messages, you know, they can be very enduring. They can be very tough. It takes, you know, we need to work on it in order to get through them. They just don't, you know, flutter away and go away. So it's much better to plunge right into it and get to know it and see what you're dealing with. And that may mean that the process of solving the problem may, in the long run, be a little bit more painful because you're kind of in mm-hmm. there and you're feeling it and you're kind of feeling the pain of it. It may be a little bit more painful, but it is more effective in terms of us being able to detach from it. And many times these patterns we're talking about, many times the patterns, you know, they don't go very far away. They kind of stay. They remain. They kind of, you know, knock at our door occasionally. But what happens is when we get to know them and when we learn how to detach from them, they lose their power. It's kind of like a tape. It's a tape that's still running, but it's in the other room, and you really can't hear it that well anymore. You really can't hear it that loudly anymore. It just doesn't have any power anymore. And when we get to the point where we can detach from it and kind of disempower these things, they begin to kind of evaporate in a way. And when they do pop up and go, hey, here I am, you know, here's this anger, you know what are you going to do about me? When it does happen then, we're much more prone and we're much more able to just maybe kind of laugh at it a little bit. Like, oh, you know, there's that. And ultimately, these things are all really pretty silly. You know, when we think about some of the silly things that we do and some of the silly thoughts and silly emotions and all those sorts of things, it is very empowering to get to the point where when something like this does rear its ugly head, we can just kind of laugh at it and kind of say to it in a way, I'm not going to give you any power today. I see that you're there. I see this pattern is still there. I'm not going to empower you by letting you, you know, take me over. I'm going to detach from you. I'm going to be separate from you. And on that basis, you're going to go away, and we're going to solve the problem here or remedy the situation in a way that's much more enduring, as opposed to just pretending it's not there, and then we end up it comes back again and again.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to say, Michelle, about you said some people learn not to trust their intuition, or they're in a place where they're not trusting their intuition. That can be a really tough one. Because, trusting our intuition is really one of the most important things that we can learn how to do. Thing number one is to really get in touch with, you know, who we are and to get in touch with what our intuition is. And then learn to trust it. You know, learn to let that be our guide. And I can relate to the feeling of not being able to trust our intuition because, you know, we have a lot of different kinds of thoughts in our head. You know, some of the thoughts that flutter around in our head are some of those dysfunctional thoughts and patterns we talked about a minute ago. And then the other kind of thought that we have in our head is, the kind of thoughts that we want to have in our head, you know, positive thoughts and thoughts that are coming, you know, directly from our heart and from our spirit and from our intuition. And we've got them both in our head at the same time. Sometimes it can be kind of confusing in terms of, well, you know, which one is it? And I'm not sure if I trust that one or this one. And there are some, I think, some important lessons about learning to trust your intuition. And for me, one of the keys to trusting my intuition is to look at it or to experience it, to feel it more from the point of view of the, and I'm going to use the word visceralness of the intuition. In other words, if a thought is just, you know, in your head and it's just, you know, a thought and doesn't have much to it, it's pretty easy to say, well, you know, that's just more of that garbage. It's more of those patterns.
Right.
But if a thought that's in your head really has a feeling to it, you can really feel it in your body, you know, and it has a real substance, a real, you know, that kind of a thing to it. That's much more in my world. That's much more of a trustworthy thing. You know, if it has a real, you know, kind of blood and guts to it, as opposed to just something that's, fluttering around in there. And plus, trusting our intuition is something that does take practice. And one of the things that I think that people need to be aware of is that, and I know there's a lot of people disagree on this, particularly a lot of your New Agers don't like to hear me say what I'm about to say, but I am very much of the belief, I'm very much of the belief that it is a real mistake for us to think that these kinds of issues we're talking about are things that are just going to go away without us not, you know, working at them.
Thank you.
A lot of your new agers say, well, you know, I went to this workshop this weekend, and all my problems are gone. Well, you know, give me a break. It's not that easy. I'm sorry. It takes time, and it takes persistence, and and it takes success and failure, and and after time, things get better, and I don't mean for this to sound like a negative message. We can let go of these things, and we can improve these things, but it does take work. Like I said a minute, I've been working on this stuff 40 years. And I still, I'm still challenged with stuff from time to time. And certainly things are a lot better now than they were 40 years ago. But point is, it does take work. And one of the main areas in which I've really been learning about this lately is I have recently, and I think we talked about this the last time I was on your show. I'm not sure if we did or not, but I recently have hooked up with a Mayan elder by the name of Eric Gonzalez, who's doing some amazing things. And one of the things that I've done with him and with his group is I've learned an awful lot about the traditional Mayan ceremonies, and I've spent quite a bit of time at their they've got two sustainable communities they're starting, one's at Deer Mountain in California and the other's in Pachiapa in Guatemala. And in the last 6 months, I've been at both of them. And I've participated in ceremonial retreats that Eric has led there, where we do 5 days of traditional Mayan ceremony. And the point of all this is that I have a real appreciation of, I'm really a great believer in that the indigenous people and the Mayans and the Native Americans, that they really had their act together spiritually. They were really on the right track, and if it wouldn't have been for the white man, they would have done tremendous things. But the point I'm making here is that they really, really, really worked hard at their spirituality. This wasn't just something that just drifted down from the heavens, and it wasn't just something that, they saw in visions and the spirit world just, presented to them on a silver platter. They worked hard. And we're talking these ceremonies that I did with Eric and his group, we're talking about 5 days of 50% of the time we're in ceremony, and when we're not in ceremony, we're either sleeping because we're so tired, or we're in bed late at night in our tents in our sleeping bags. The point is, they worked really, really hard at their spirituality, and I think everybody needs to be aware of that. And that's one of the things too. People trip up very often because if whatever they're working on doesn't go away right away, people tend to get down on themselves and they get discouraged. And, I'm still have all these issues with this anger. Well, they're not appreciating the fact that it takes work, and they need to keep working at it. And part of the working at it process is every once in a while these things are going to flare up a little bit, and we're going to have to go, oh, there's that again. Okay, I got to get yeah. recentered and refocused and take a look at it again. But it does take work.
Absolutely.
I'm afraid
and I think that I was what you're afraid what?
I'm just going to say I'm afraid there's no way around that. There's no miracle magic wands here.
No. And, it's interesting, the more, I would say, programs, processes, or studies, or trainings that are really of integrity, in more advanced metaphysical trainings or spiritual trainings, there is a lot of work, a lot of mental and emotional work, as well as spiritual, because they see those, bodies or aspects of expression as very, important. And it is a constant... Someone put mindfulness. I had a teacher, and I tend to agree with this, said that the only thing different than the enlightened being is that when things come up, they don't attach themselves to it. In other words, they don't say, oh, that's me, or something's wrong with me. They just mm-hmm. work through it or look at, or like you said, oh, there you are again. Okay, that little voice, okay, it's a lot littler, and I hear you, and move on. But, yeah, having been behind the scenes with quite a lot of the very well-known public figures, everyone has, a lot of people have the same issues. It's just how, or wounding. Another mm-hmm. great teacher of mine said, we all have wounds, it's just some people live from them. So, again, it's just what we do with that, and do we think that this is us, because something that, instead of something that we're going through, and, do we attach ourselves to less than, because we're working on something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Jack, I had a similar morning, by the way, and then I want you to share. I had a similar morning, so we're really in alignment.
Well, I was talking with my friend Eric, who I just mentioned. I heard him on a call last night, and he said that he was really struggling with some stuff yesterday. So maybe there's something going around and some energy going
yeah.
around or something. That's
well, I've been doing. I just had a wonderful, what they call in England. I lived in England for a while. They call it a lay-in. And I've been getting up early and doing this amazing trail and hike, and I take my dog, and I had that vision. The vision was there, but then another part said, you know, Michelle, just do you have to go, you know, does this now have to be, you have to do this too? You know, you can do it or not do it. Do you know what I mean? So I don't necessarily always get attached to it. So what won out was me just relaxing, and I feel great. I thought, wow, that was so right action instead of pushing, you know, now I'm doing this every morning. You know, it's like, no. You're doing what your spirit is saying, right? Not the program of the ego. So spirit says, rest, relax this morning. You know, I even watched a movie early this morning, which I'll admit, a Lifetime movie, something that's junky that I like, but I felt so good and just had a wonderful smoothie and relax and then took a leisurely walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so true confession.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. May I share something with you recently? And this really was kind of a breakthrough for me. And again, I hope this doesn't sound like a harsh thing I'm about to say, but and trust me, the end of the story here is a real real good one. But I was and this was several weeks ago. I was struggling with one of my issues, and I was feeling very wounded. I was feeling very wounded, kind of eternally wounded, you know, that I've been wounded my whole life, and we do get wounded in this culture. When you think about, you know, how we're born, you know, and in this culture we're, you know, ripped out by our feet and we're slapped in the butt and screamed and we're, you know, just thrown in a nursery with a bunch of other screaming babies and we're taken away from our mother. We're basically traumatized at birth. And this, you know, this sets up patterns. It sets up patterns for a lifetime. And I was feeling that. I was feeling very damaged. I was feeling very wounded, and I was feeling like there was nothing I could do about it. And my spirit guide entered the picture at that point and said, "You're absolutely correct." My spirit guide said, "You are wounded. You are damaged beyond repair. All the more reason just to give it up and to trust in spirit, because that's where your healing's going to come from. Your healing's going to come from spirit. The more you try to heal yourself, the more you get involved in controlling things, and I've got the answers, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and the more you do and the harder you try, the more you just kind of set yourself up for more of the same kind of failures. Let it go. Give it up to spirit. Just give it up to spirit. Give it up to spirit in terms of just live your life with the proper vibration. Give it up to spirit, and just pray to spirit, you know, to provide you with whatever you need as it manifests downward from spirit to you. And on that basis, anything is possible. Absolutely anything is possible. And try not to get caught up too much in the dynamic of, you know, I'm going to cure this, or I'm going to heal this, or I'm going to do this or that, or I'm just going to do it by virtue of trying harder. Give it up to spirit. Let spirit run the show. Everything ultimately manifests from spirit, including our health. And that was a huge, huge breakthrough for me, because it was one of those things that allowed me, again, to simply detach. You know, here I am feeling pain that you know, felt enduring, you know, like there was nothing I could do about it. And yet this insight that I just shared with you allowed me to, and I'm going to use this word again because it's such a big word for me, allowed me to detach from that. In other words, a minute ago, I'm all connected with, you know, I'm feeling pain and I'm feeling like, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. And then a minute later, because of my connection with spirit, I'm able to just detach from that. All of a sudden, I'm not it anymore. You know, it's on the other side of the room. It's outside the door. It's not there anymore. And I've detached from it and, you know, gotten myself in a place that, you know, in a better place. And that was a tremendous breakthrough for me, and I hope that doesn't sound too odd or whatever. But that was a very 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 big one for me, and I think ultimately it always does come back to that. I think it always comes back to our everything, Michelle, in my world. It all ultimately is so simple. It all comes back to our connection with spirit, and we form our connection with spirit by how we experience our lives, by living our life with the proper vibration. It all comes back to that. And as long as we have that connection to spirit, we don't really need to worry about anything else, because spirit's going to take care of everything. And I know many people who have hit rock bottom in their lives and who've lost everything and who have nothing. And I've been there, and I was there relatively recently. at that point, real, all I have left is spirit. And then all of a sudden the light goes off. But that's all I need. That's all I need is my connection with spirit. And as soon as that light goes off, and as soon as that connection is made, all of a sudden things start manifesting. Things start getting better. And you're not trying to make them better. All of a sudden you're saying, boy, I really wish I had this. And somebody's knocking on the door saying, well, here's this. Well, this is just what I wished for. Oh, okay. This is how it works. Huh? Spirit does indeed work in mysterious ways. And so the most important thing is that connection with spirit, with our vibration. And once we have that going, everything else just evaporates from that point.
And maybe that's, you know, I think the huge learning which we come in with. I love the author I guess theologian, Matthew Fox, who says it's not the original sin, but original separation. You know, or we come in with this original blessing. You know, the sin is our feeling of separation. But that connection, and you spoke of it so well, Jack, it is about that connection when we feel connected to spirit, when we feel connected to source. You're right. There's less and less trying, right?
And we really are
guided.
And we realize too, when we make that connection, that we really don't have anything to fear anymore, because we know that if the connection is in place, if that vibrational connection is in place, we know that spirit's going to take care of us. That's the way the universe is set up. The universe is set up to be this universe is set up to be a divine blessing, and it's set up to basically to shower us with blessings as long as we keep our end of the deal. It's kind of like a contract. You know, as long as we experience our lives with the proper, joyful, loving, reverent vibration, the universe is going to take care of us. It always comes back to that. I know it sounds very simple, but ultimately it is.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think makes it so difficult?
Well, culture.
Yeah.
Learning.
Okay.
I think most of what makes it difficult is just all of the stuff that we learn in this in this nutty culture that we're associated with, and this nutty culture we're associated with. And one of the parts of my message also is that this nutty culture we're associated with, in my humble opinion, and there's a lot of other people who are involved in the shift and what's happening in that area. I'm of the opinion this nutty culture of ours isn't going to be around much longer, because all the indigenous prophecies told us the same thing. They said that this world, the white man's world, as it's set up, where the material world is placed first and spirit is placed way down the line someplace. They said it cannot possibly sustain itself, and it is pretty clear that our culture is teetering on the brink these days. And I say it's a blessing, because if and when the whole message of the shift, Michelle, is that this time we're living in, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with December 21st, 2012, but it's this general time we're in right now, kind of centered around that date. Is a time in which where we reach the end of the cycle. It's the time where one world is going to come to an end, and where there will be an opportunity to create an entirely different world. That's the entire meaning of the shift. And when we see our crazy culture teetering on the brink and beginning to fall apart at the seams as it is, that's one manifestation of the old world coming to an end, which provides us with an opportunity to replace it or with a different one, to create a completely different one, from those ashes. So I say that is a very, very exciting thing, and I'm definitely playing my part in that too, in terms of making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm kind of bouncing around on you here, but that's sort of the way it is.
No, we're following. it's good stuff. Yeah, and I love that you say it isn't this one time. I mean, we've been in this shifting, and we've been in this quickening, where a lot is coming to a head. With people, situations, relationships. One thing I'm reminded, and I want to get your take on this, that the shift happens individually and collectively, but it's it's the individuals. As the individuals are changing, it's also changing the collective pattern. Let's say the nutty pattern that you say, the nuttiness, the interesting mental constructs that got created to, in essence, ensure productivity, but delete creativity. And I say creativity also in the way that as the connection to spirit, you know, the false idols of, you know, over-focus on making things, meaning, you know, the production line, the manufacturing, you know, and what do you have, you know, the material, overemphasis on the material. But it does happen as an individual. So do you feel that this individual shifting that's happening with the collective, Jack, is, I guess, impinging the field, impinging the field of the mainstream or the general populace?
I'm not sure I follow your thread.
Well, we're changing as individuals. There's a lot of us, and you even said yourself, doing what you can. Do you feel that that is making a difference?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And even though, you know, we are a minority, we're a very small minority, but that's the whole question of critical mass. We are a small minority, but that doesn't make any difference. We don't have to be a majority, because it's not about our numbers; it's about our energy. So we can can actually be a very, very small minority of people who are awakening and who are, you know, living with the proper vibration, with the proper energy, and that basically it all comes back to that. We don't have to be a majority. We can be a very, very small minority, and very small minorities. And this is the key to understanding critical mass. Critical mass is an energetic concept, and critical mass is the thing that always is responsible for the changes in the world. And we can be a very, very small minority, and yet a small minority of us who are truly empowered, you know, by virtue of having our energy in the right place. A very small minority of people who have a true connection with the true source of their power and the true source of their spiritual power have exponentially more power and more influence than much, much larger groups of people who are, you know, disconnected and who don't have that same source of empowerment. So, yes, the influence is very, very strong. And it's basically, Michelle, at this point, and there's really no other way of putting this, our world is basically splitting into two right now. It's splitting into new paradigm and old paradigm.
I've been seeing that. That was to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the prophecy. That's part of everything. Mm-hmm. That's part of what this whole shift, and, you know, one world coming to an end, so that another one can be reborn. Thing. That's what it's all about. And there really isn't, you know, playing both sides here. Perhaps at this point, people are still capable of, you know, having one foot in each world, and they can still pull that off. But there is going to come a time, and I think it's going to be coming pretty darn soon, when people are going to have to make a choice which world they're going to decide to live in. Are they going to go with the new paradigm, or are they going to go with the old paradigm? And in my humble opinion, the old paradigm is a sinking ship, and it's all about destructive energy and you know, all sorts of negativity and things we really don't want to be aligned with. And the new paradigm is all about, you know, the good stuff. It's all about, you know, light, spirit, and energy, and spirituality, and, you know, putting spirit first as opposed to matter. And more and more people are, you know, making that new paradigm choice. I know I made it quite a while ago. It sounds like you made it quite a while ago. And that's it. Right now, our world is splitting into two, and it's going to be up to all of us at some point to make a choice. You know, which world we choose to live in. And I strongly recommend, as highly as I can recommend to each and every one of your listeners, that they make a new paradigm choice as opposed to an old paradigm choice, because that's what it's going to take to actually pull this off and to create, you know, the new world of light and spirit that we hear so much about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, I just as you were putting that, I put in the chat, that's why the law of resonance is so important, and for people not to get tripped up in trying to manifest their ego desire. I mean, I love desires. I love the ego. It's an extension of us, but, you know, in proper perspective, because they can get derailed in this, you know, the secret, I'll just say it, the misuse, although it's it's needed and necessary, and it's an opener. People can get derailed by, you know, the fear, I've got to manifest this, I've got to create, you know, got to attract this, attract that. But if they're following that resonance, where are they really resonating? Where are they being, as you said earlier, Jack, spirit-led? Where, what is spirit telling you to do, and where to go, who to be with, how, what's your next, you know, offering or level or what? Then you're going to be right where you need to be. That's what I'm hearing you saying. If you're listening to this and following this, you're going to know where to be and what to do.
Can we talk a little bit about manifestation? Because I really believe there are so many misconceptions about manifestation right now. And
I
know. The movie The Secret just embodied those misconceptions to such a degree. Because so much of the discussion about manifesting now all has to do with a couple of buzzwords. And these buzzwords are all over the place. And the buzzwords are abundance and prosperity. Well, there's nothing wrong with abundance and prosperity. Abundance and prosperity are one. The universe is abundant, and like I said a minute ago, if we're you know, living life with the proper vibration, the universe will shower us with unimaginable blessings. Now, there's nothing more abundant and more prosperous than that. But the way it's being distorted is by virtue of thinking about abundance and prosperity in the same old paradigm. Context of making money, getting rich. And The Secret was all, I couldn't watch more than an hour of The Secret because it was making me sick to my stomach.
I didn't see it.
But it was all about making money. It was all about making money and getting rich and having a big house and having a beautiful wife and beautiful spouse. The whole movie was about that. It was about the law of attraction. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law of attraction. The law of attraction is a very, very viable spiritual law. But it's not the only spiritual law. And The Secret was putting forward that the law of attraction, that was it. That was all there was. And if we hold this thought in our mind, then the universe will deliver. I'm sorry, it does not happen that way. And there's an awful lot of people who are very unhappy and who have lost a lot of money because they believe that if they worked hard enough to hold a thought about making a lot of money in their head, that the universe would provide that through the law of attraction. It's a bunch of hooey. It is just simply not true. The other thing that was so devoid from the movie The Spirit was, or from the movie The Secret, was any kind of
The Spirit.
There was no discussion of higher purpose in there. There was no discussion of spiritual connection in there. And when we're talking about manifesting, the most important aspect of manifesting is higher purpose. In other words, our primary purpose in life isn't making a lot of money. Our primary purpose in life is something else. Our primary purpose in life, for me, my primary purpose in life is basically changing the world. But, you know, doing it in a good way. My primary purpose in life is to continue to continue my own process of spiritual ascension. It's as you said a minute ago, it starts with us as individuals, and then it spreads from there to us as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not only talking about individual ascension, but we're talking about collective ascension.
Collective.
My own particular higher purpose is to continue on the path of my spiritual ascension and to play my part in creating the new world of light and spirit. Now, I didn't say a word about money in there, did I? But if I'm doing this correctly, I won't have to worry about money, and the universe will provide all of my needs because I put spirit first, and everything manifests from spirit. That's how it works. And if you delete, spirit from your manifestation formulas, everything's going to get all knocked out of whack. So there are some very important lessons to be learned in this, and so people should be very careful when they hear people talking about manifesting abundance and manifesting prosperity. Those are not bad things, but read between the lines here. Have some discernment.
Yes.
Are these people talking about money? Are they talking about spirituality? What are they talking about here when they talk about manifesting abundance? Ask them to define what they mean by prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important for to get down. Are we just dealing with another material paradigm here, or are we dealing with more of a spiritual, more of a higher purpose paradigm here? Because that's where it's at when it comes to manifestation.
I love what you said about material paradigm. I will tell you too. I was not. I won't reveal where because I don't want anybody out. But I was somewhere when that secret. And I had an advanced copy of it. Somebody, because of the work that I do, wanted me to, promote it or give my little kiss of approval or whatever, right? About 6 months before it came out. And I wrote a long, it must be somewhere archived because I put it on their blog. Why wouldn't? And I just disagreed, and I said, this is going to really just send people in a dead end, and you know, I wouldn't be a part of it. And I listed the universal laws, the CD I have on it, the book by the three initiates, and said, this is not channel material. It was written in, you know, 1800s and probably before. But I was privy to someone on the phone that had, and you're right, there's been hundreds of people, thousands of people. I've worked with a small amount of people that have thought, that believe that they could just meditate on something and hope that they were going to get it in this manifesting, and losing their homes. I remember they were on the phone at a certain location, at a bookstore actually, and they were panicked. I heard them, please have them call back because, you know, this person was about to be on Oprah, and oh, please, because my husband, we've been doing the meditations for 6 months, every 15 minutes a day, and they're losing their house, the business deal was falling through, we figured we could handle it this way, we've been doing everything, what are we doing wrong? And I said, you're going to call that person and tell them that, you know, they're not doing wrong.
They've been misled.
Yeah, they're being misled. And
somebody's making some money here, too.
But it sells a lot of books, Katie. And sometimes, unfortunately, in all areas of life, people want to be sometimes, that's discernment, you spoke about, the spiritual discernment. A lot of times people want to cut corners or think there's that magic pill or, you know, not that magic doesn't happen and we don't skip steps or skip 1,000 steps or, you know, the interventions, the divine interventions, but for the most part, it was a sales tool. It was a wonderful marketing tool that got a lot of people rich, but misled a lot of people.
The secret was basically, there was nothing new about The Secret. It was basically a rehashing of a very, very old idea, and I was really involved. The Secret came out in the early this decade, right? I was involved with a network marketing group back in the mid-90s when this idea first emerged in the whole network marketing craze that happened in the mid-90s when everybody was so rich and the stock market was going crazy and all that kind of stuff. And it was all the same stuff as The Secret, and that was their primary marketing pitch, was, you know, anybody can become a millionaire. It's just, it's all in your head, and it's just a question of, you know, this law of attraction, and that was way back in the 90s. That was, and those people made an awful lot of money in terms of hooking people with that method. And basically, what they're doing is they are taking advantage of people's deepest old paradigm fears. The deepest fears that we have in the old paradigm is that we're going to lose all our stuff. We're going to be poor. We're going to be on the street. That's a very deep old paradigm insecurity. And then, of course, the greatest of the old paradigm virtues then is, you know, the rags to riches person that, you know, can become a millionaire, you know, from nothing, you know. So it was really kind of feeding into both people's insecurities as well as, you know, people's the old paradigm need to be successful, which meant to have a lot of money without any regard to, you know, their spirituality or anything else, and what they do with that money.
So how do people not get, two questions, and I know because I try to get as much out of you as possible, but one thing is, will this kind of, this hook go away, and then how can people not get hooked by this?
Well, one way in which the hook is going to go away, I think, is being taken care of by itself. It's being taken care of by the shift, because the shift is kind of polishing off a lot of the old paradigm. A lot of our old paradigm notions and concepts about money are kind of going up in smoke these days, because the economy is not in good shape and people are really hurting, and people are discovering that they've been lied to basically by the mainstream system and by the bankers and by all of that. And So a lot of people are at this point, they're seeing through it, you know, and it's
just
a sad thing.
Okay.
It can be very devastating for people in terms of, you know, they you know, they've lived their whole life based upon this dream of, you know, the material dream of the old paradigm, and they were trusting folks with, I'm sure, with, you know, good souls and spirits, and they were just doing what they thought was the right thing to do in the old paradigm world, and all of a sudden everybody's getting ripped off and losing their money, and the stock market's crashing, and everything else, and all these banking things are happening. So a lot of people are seeing through that at this point and going, wait a minute here. You know, is this all there is? Maybe is there something more? Is there something else we should be looking at here? Mm. And it's those kind of people who hopefully when they see the kind of message I put out there will go, you know, maybe we should take a look. Maybe we should take a look at that. And I think maybe there's quite a few people right now who are also maybe saying when they look at the environment, you know, the incredible environmental disasters that are being perpetrated by this old paradigm thinking. People say, well, you know, how can we ever, you know, live in a sustainable world? You know, it's impossible. It's impossible because what's the argument? Impossible because there's too many people, and it's impossible because people are such scumbags and people are greedy, and it's always going to be this way. And so, you know, there's really no way we can live in a sustainable world. So if you really believe this stuff, the only thing we can believe in is that the world's just going to, you know, the whole thing is just going to collapse. Well, that's just utterly false. We have very, very many, very many perfectly good models for how to live sustainably. The indigenous people in this country and around the planet were showing us all how to do that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They were living perfectly sustainable in complete harmony with nature, and in complete harmony with spirit, and harmony with nature, and harmony with Mother Earth. And they were doing it quite well, and they were more primitive. They didn't have computers. They didn't have electricity, but, you know, that was part of the deal. So people can't say it's impossible because it's been done before. But what is necessary here is we in Western civilization, we're going to have to learn how to change our lifestyle because we cannot continue to live this way. We cannot continue to live in a way that exploits the planet and that exploits the environment. We just can't. And it's not the planet that's going to die. It's not the environment that's going to die. It's us. The planet, the planet's going to be fine. The Earth is. I recently read a brilliant channeled piece the other day that has become one of the most important things I've read in a long time. It was an indigenous spirit source. And what they said was that they said, and I don't want to go off on a tangent about that, but what I heard them say was, and it was so true, they said there is nothing in today's world as far as the environment is concerned, as far as Mother Earth is concerned, there is none of the damages, none of the destructions, none of the transgressions that have been perpetrated against the environment and against the Earth are irreparable. They can all be fixed in spite of what everybody says about global warming and poles being burned in the atmosphere. They said they can all be fixed. Nothing is irreparable. But we have got to change. We have to change the way we live, and we have to change our relationship with nature and with Mother Earth. If we change that relationship, the planet will begin to repair ourselves, and we're a part of this planet. We will begin to repair ourselves also. Michelle, there is epidemic physical and mental sickness in our world today. It's not only the planet that's sick. Human beings in the civilization are very, very sick. And when we succeed at changing our lifestyle, not only will the planet start to get better, we will start to get better. And we'll start to get better as a function of, again, I'll always come back to the same thing, about living our lives primarily through our relationship with spirit, as opposed to living our lives primarily in a kind of a sleepwalking state that we have currently.
So that's also affecting the mental health. I didn't
absolutely
think about that, but that makes sense, yeah.
Absolutely. I know for myself, Michelle, when I ask for my own healing and when I pray for my own healing, I don't even pray for healing for my body because I think it all stems from the mind. I ask for healing for my mind, and as soon as my mind gets healed, my body's just going to follow. Going to follow behind that just quite naturally. I think it all starts in between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
When we're conditioned in this culture to believe that, you know, the universe is a terrible place and life is a terrible thing and, you know, we're all a bunch of scumbags, which is basically, you know, what we're taught, you know, original sin and all that kind of stuff, You know, those kinds of beliefs are very, very pervasive in terms of their influence. And yes, they do influence our physiology because, well, they influence our totality. You know, we are not just physical beings. We are total beings, you know, body, mind, and spirit. And if one part of that is skewed, you know, the mind, it's going to affect, you know, the rest of us. And it is.
So part of what I'm hearing you say, we just really have a chance to really, like, I love what you said, the two paradigms, you know, and I've heard this before. It's like making that choice is that choice for true life, true living, for you know, obviously if you're living more spiritually connected, you have more life force energy anyway. So do you feel like, in a sense, this is this choosing time?
Yeah, these are the times. I know there's a lot of confusion about the shift and about dates and about, you know, December 21st, 2012 and all that. And I think the only thing people really need to know about that is that I don't really put much importance on any particular dates and predictions.
Right, I don't either.
That kind of stuff.
No.
The important thing to keep in mind is these, we are in the, quote, times, unquote. We're in that time window, I like to call it. The shift is already happening. It's going to be accelerating even more in the years ahead. And, you know, we could keep limping along, you know, several years, decade or whatever after 2012. You know, it's really impossible to say. But we are in this time now. So now is the time when these things are happening. And now is the time, too, when it hasn't actually been made imperative yet for people to choose which world they're going to live in. But that point will come at some point fairly soon. And it may be forced upon us by, you know, by the system. The system may require that we make certain choices, like, you know, that it's kind of like saying, well, are you going to live in the old paradigm or the new paradigm? So, like, decisions like forced vaccines. You know, if it ever, you know, if there ever was a fabricated, you know, epidemic and mandatory vaccines were made a law, people would be forced on that basis. You know, which world do you want to live in, old or new? And I know that I would never agree to a mandatory vaccine. I would go underground. I would run away to the mountains. I would not do it.
A lot of people would, but
that would be the kind of choice that could perhaps come, you know, actually from the system itself, you know, from the powers that be. And there are many others like that. Like mandatory microchips is something that people are, not mandatory microchips, but microchips that, you know, microchip implants that unless we had them, we couldn't access, you know, our data banks and our system of money and stuff like that is another something that people have hypothesized about, you know, could be in the future. So but the choices may not come from the system. The choice may just come from the universe, you know, in terms of, you know, which world you want to live in, old or new.
Mm-hmm. And how would one start that choice now? In their everyday living, right where they're at now, like we still have, you know, everything is a bit cushy, even though there's a lot of, you know, tear down and dissolving going on, you know, as well as the building of the co-creating. But how could you think people can begin to make this choice in their life now?
Well, you know, that's excuse me, that is an excellent question, and I spent quite a bit of time on that in my new book and in my new DVD because. I know, Michelle. My message isn't getting any softer with time. I'm fully aware of that, and I know that what I'm saying is very overwhelming for a lot of people, and particularly people who are, you know, a lot. And I have complete sympathy for people who are stuck in you know, old paradigm, mainstream jobs, living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, I completely understand that, and I'm sympathetic with that, and I know what it is to be stuck like that. I mean, people. It seems to people like that they really don't have a whole lot of choices, and they're kind of stuck in the old paradigm and. What have you. So you ask, well, what can people like that do? You know, they're stuck. They're living from paycheck to paycheck. They don't have a whole lot of choices. Well, one of the things that they can begin to do is they can begin to make the necessary changes, you know, in their heads and in their spirits. They can begin planning these things. They can begin thinking about these things. That doesn't mean they have to quit their job. That doesn't mean they have to, you know, do anything real dramatic as far as getting out of the old paradigm. But they can begin to plan, and they can begin to prepare themselves. Mm-hmm. They can begin to do little things. They can begin to do little things like eating good, healthy, natural food, by drinking good, clean, healthy water, preferably spring water that they can purchase. They can begin to take care of their health in little ways by, you know, not going to mainstream doctors anymore, and, you know, getting off the pharmaceutical medications, and, you know, going to, you know, if they do need help from a healer, you know, start going to alternative practitioners. So people can start to do little things, and they can start thinking about it. They don't have to quit their job. They don't have to drop out of the system, but they can begin to prepare so that when things really do hit the fan, like I believe they are in the years to come, at least people will be prepared. And it won't, you know, come as a complete shock, and they won't still have this, you know, investment in a dying world, basically, which is.
Well, I think even what you're saying with the job is, in other words, part of what I'm hearing, these little changes lead to bigger changes and more inner stability, and in some way outer stability, because you have other things in place. But so even with the job, perhaps is not to overly rely on that or have something else going on, or maybe a self-inquiry of what is really your passion, or what do you really want to do, or, you know, other sources of support, whatever that means to you.
Well, that's a very good point too, because the other as far as old paradigm jobs are concerned, another thing people need to do is if what I'm saying, what we're saying, you know, rings true to people and they'd like to start making changes. One of the biggest mistakes people make with their old paradigm jobs, let's say somebody's got a you know, well-paying job, let's say they get paid, you know, I don't know, $50,000 a year, working for a company, and they're doing, you know, some kind of, you know, mid-level, you know, marketing type work or something like that. Now, perhaps this person might be stuck in this job. They might need the money. Okay, granted, that's fine. But one of the things that so many people do is they dissipate so much of their energy on these old paradigm jobs, as opposed to, you know, shifting their energy to more of a new paradigm way of looking. They can still do their job. They can still go to work every day. They can still get their paycheck. They can still, you know, do what they need to do to please their supervisor and do all that kind of stuff without completely dissipating themselves at their jobs energetically. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you're in a dead-end old paradigm job and you're just doing it for the money, don't waste your energy on it. Just go in, do what you need to do, get your paycheck, please your supervisor, do your work, you know, do the necessary, and when you leave work at the end of the day, that's when your life begins.
Yeah.
And then so.
But
so,
see, you bring up something though. But see, if people aren't emotionally taking care of themselves or aren't spiritually connected, emotionally connected, mentally, very often they're expecting sometimes too much from a job or position that is supposed to give them every right.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And that's the pitfall to be avoided, that people want to get their emotional needs satisfied, not in that way, but in a more genuine way.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's the small things, the small steps.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people can begin to peck away at this stuff. Last night on a call with Eric and the Mayan people that I've been working with, we talked about this. We talked about one of the kind of interesting ironies of this time that we live in is, on the one hand, we're getting the message from a lot of sources that, you know, this is the time, and the time is running out. You know, these are the times. And yet, many of us also, in spite of that, and I believe it's true, time is running out. Our time is limited. And yet, at the same time, my own guidance very often, you know, there's this part of me that says, oh, you know, I want to go run away to Deer Mountain and pitch my tent and start growing food and start getting our seeds and our water and, you know, getting set, you know, to build a new world, and I need to do it now. Well, then my spirit guide steps in and says, well, wait a minute, Jack, be patient. Wait for your guidance. Mm. You know, don't go off half-cocked here. You know, you can only do as much as you can reasonably do. Yes, time is short, but don't panic here. You know, wait for your guidance. And when I've gotten to the point where I trust my intuition enough to know that when my guidance arrives, I know when it's there, and I know when to follow it. And when my guidance says leaps, I leap. I don't even ask. I just leap. So, but, you know, like I said, I've been working at this for a long time, though, too, and I don't mean to be to sound insensitive to people who are new to this, but that's the way it works. So my guidance, on the one hand, we have two different things working here. One is we don't have much time, and the other thing is, but we need to be patient, and we need to, you know, to wait for our guidance and go with how spirit guides us in these ways. We never want to be pushing against anything ever. You know, we always want to be going with the flow of things, as opposed to never a good thing to force things. Always best to, you know, go with the flow of things, as opposed to pushing and forcing. or rushing. Rushing is never a good thing, ever.
Mm.
Every time I rush at anything, Michelle, I lose my friggin' mind.
Yeah.
Oh, and right. Yesterday I had a had a huge amount of firewood I had to carry up and down this hill I live on here. And yesterday was the day I said, today I'm going to finish it. I'm going to get the rest of that wood down here, and I'm going to do it in a couple of hours so that I can, you know, work a couple more hours on my book. Well, it got to the point where it was obvious to me it was going to take more than a couple of hours to do this. It was going to take more like 4 hours to do it. So I started rushing. I got to get it done. Blah, blah, blah. And I lost my friggin' mind. I mean, just in terms of just getting all irritable and stressed and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, I just said, Jack, stop. Write your book tomorrow. Breathe.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah. Man. But the mistake I made was I rushed.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just flowing with it. I got plenty of time to write my book. I'll write it when we hang up the phone today. I'll work more on my book. You know,
that's right. Well, then you're led by the inspiration, you know. And it's funny sometimes how the egoic mind can, like, latch on to things. You know, I think of this morning with myself. It can be something that's good, you know, or life-enhancing. Something good, life-enhancing or beneficial. But even sometimes it's like, you don't need to, like you said, rush to do this. You know,
mm-hmm.
You don't need to.
Well, a lot of that, Michelle, I think for me, has to do with good old-fashioned, and I don't mean good old-fashioned because this is, we're talking about bad habits here instead of good habits. Boils down to habits. There are so many, we all have so many habits, just things that we just do automatically. And very often those things can pile up, and it's when they pile up, we can tend to get overloaded, and that's when, you know, our emotions go out of whack. it isn't necessary for us all the time to follow each and every habit, you know, exactly the way we've done it, you know, for the last 20 years. You know, we can let it go. We can just, you know, we don't have to follow all those habits so strictly and so literally all the time. That's one of the things I did today, because I noticed all these little things I always do. Every time I started doing one, I'd say, I just can't do this today. It feels too heavy. So I just didn't do any of them. I let the whole thing go. The only thing I've done today, Michelle, is this, talk with you. Other than that, all I've done is sat in a chair with my eyes closed and breathed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I must say, though, talking to you like this has got me kind of charged up, I think.
I know, but the natural inspiration comes up. We don't have to force the flow, you know. And
I knew that was going to happen, though, because these things always get me charged up.
Well, they do.
Do we need an interview like this? I mean, if I wasn't charged up, it wouldn't be much of a good interview, would it?
True. Very true. Very true.
I've had kind of a crummy day today, you know. Don't have much to talk about. I don't know. You talk, all right?
Yeah. Oh, God, please don't do that. Yeah. yeah, but I think it goes back to the spirit, following the spirit and being spirit-led. Even I think sometimes when we think that we know what we should do or should be doing or something's quote-unquote good for us, sometimes it's something else, you know, is coming through that it's like, no, you need to do that or do nothing. Like this morning, you know,
right.
You need to do nothing. You need to, and it boggles, doesn't it? It boggles the egoic mind because it just wants to latch on to a routine. Usually, it wants to latch on to something.
Our minds can be real tricksters. You know, they really can be real tricksters. And I think one of the things. I know one of the things my mind is always trying to trick me into doing. My old paradigm, my mind that was conditioned in the old paradigm, the thing that my mind that was conditioned in the old paradigm is always trying to do, and I know this sounds kind of extreme, but it's true, it's always trying to bring me down. It's always trying to get me to see things negatively. It's always trying to bring me down. It's always trying to lower my energy, because that's kind of the world view of this whole thing. You know, this world is just kind of, you know, a lot of hard work and then you die, you know. So, you know, it's always trying to bring me down. And so it's up to me to make sure that I won't let it. And when I observe that those kinds of patterns in my own head, I know them, like we started out here today. I know them so well at this point that I'm not going to be fooled by them anymore. And once I see those patterns stirring around in my head, I can detach from them. And I can breathe. I can get myself connected to what I need to be connected to. And then I can also engage in the thing that's been so important for me lately. When I was listening to you talk earlier about meditation and all the things you were talking about, my most recent thing is the addition of ceremony into my life. And I'm talking about massive, massive ceremony. We're talking about ceremonial fires, talking about ceremonial pipe smoking, ceremonial praying.
And which different forms of meditation or practice. We've got 60 seconds. Jack, again, it's been wonderful. We have to come you back for part two.
Well, okay, now I'm going to hang up, and I'm just going to go back to my dull life now, eh?
You're going to write that book. You're going to write that book and tell you.
Thank you,
until
Michelle.
Until next time.
Thank you, Michelle. You are a goddess angel, and I appreciate you asking me on here, and I hope I can come back again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being with us, Jack.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Jack Alice. You can reach him at jackalice.com, and that's JACKALLIS.com. He's the author of Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012. As always, wonderful to connect with all of you. Yes, Reiki Master in the chat, it was a beautiful show. Beautiful because all of you are co-creating this here, and all of you listening through the various outlets as well. So keep those emails coming to awakenings@selfandlight.com. How and where you listen to Awakenings, I really want to know, and also your questions. I'll be reading them on air and doing more in-depth answering of the questions when we have our other time together. All right, until next time, continue to share your insight and shine your light, and of course, always keep awake.